The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. I'm going to start with an article from AARP, the magazine, since we're getting into travel season. This is called All Aboard. Airplanes are cramped. Road trips are exhausting. For your next vacation, try taking a train instead. I can pinpoint the moment I fell in love with riding the rails. I was 24 years old, and on the second evening of my first trip aboard Amtrak's California Zephyr, which runs between Chicago and the San Francisco Bay Area. Sitting next to me in the dining car was a college grad en route to see her aunt in Reno, and across the table, a couple of sisters heading home to Lake Tahoe. The four of us swapped stories and laughed while enjoying plates of trout and chicken breast and peering out the window at Utah's sandstone buttes, their muted colors transforming into shapes of deep reds and oranges as the sun slipped below the horizon. This, I found myself thinking, is exactly where I want to be. Now I'm 51 and have spent decades working as a travel journalist, and I've come to realize that trains are the best way to move about on vacation. According to a recent AARP study, one-third of Americans aged 50-plus are also inclined to travel by train, primed to experience what I find so alluring. Trains are spacious and come equipped with cafes and often dining cars that provide opportunities to meet other passengers or simply take some personal space as needed. And the places I've gone. I've experienced one of the world's steepest standard gauge railway lines, Norway's Flam Railway, which winds its way around sharp curves and through lush mountain scenery. I've been mesmerized aboard Amtrak's Empire Builder by the supreme grandeur of Montana's Glacier National Park. I've journeyed across Australia's Nullarbor Plain, a limestone plateau that includes the longest stretch of straight railway in the world, about 300 miles that highlight the country's vastness. There's also a romance to train travel, as depicted in Alfred Hitchcock's North by Northwest and Wes Anderson's The Darjeeling Limit. It holds the glamour of an earlier era. Of course, the reality is not quite the movie. Delays can be frequent, and rail cars are often loud. But there's one thing that stays true. Traveling by train is an adventure, providing a glimpse into the worlds that may be invisible along highways and impossible to see at 30,000 feet. There's something magical about rollicking through the Nebraska prairies or catching the lights switching on at dusk in small-town Iowa. The encounters along the way can also amaze. When I arrived for my overnight ride aboard Vietnam's Reunification Express in Ninh Binh, I was surprised to see a dozen local children practicing their English with Westerners, something they reportedly came to the station regularly to do. In India's Rajasthan state, I toasted a complimentary cup of creamy masala chai with the proprietor of a railway station kiosk. He then extended a casual invitation to his 1,500 guest wedding. Some of my most memorable train journeys included stops in places I might not have otherwise visited. Spokane, Washington, where I took in spectacular views of its magnificent urban waterfall. And Western Australia's Kalgoorlie, awash with gold rush history. Back on board, I've marveled at Pennsylvania's autumn foliage through the window, slurped from a bowl of po with crew members near the Vietnamese seaside city of Da Nang, and chatted up new acquaintances about the beauty of Washington's Cascade Range in the observation car of Amtrak's Empire Builder. All of this without having to stay alert behind the wheel or adhere to a fast seatbelt sign. In a world that moves at breakneck speed, railways let us slow down. From the moment I settle into my sleeper cabin or coach seat, the pressure of home slips away. My biggest worry is deciding what I'll have for dinner. I don't expect to get anywhere fast, but that's much of the allure of train travel. It's the ability to unwind, unplug, and let the rails carry me while I just sit back and savor the ride. And of course, we mustn't forget Japan's bullet train. Laura Kinnery, who wrote this, is a freelance journalist based in San Francisco and a train enthusiast. She has written for numerous outlets, including Condé Nast Traveler and Smithsonian. Her most recent trip by rail was a journey from India's Ranthambore Railroad Station to Agra. Now, let's look at trains versus planes. Amtrak Northeast Regional Coach versus United Boeing 737-800 version 1. The train, 72 people per car. The plane, 48 Economy Plus, 102 Economy Coach. The train, 2 on each side of the aisle. The plane, 3 on each side of the aisle. The train, seat width is 23 inches. And on the plane, it's 16.3 to 17.3 in coach. The seat pitch on the train is 39 inches, and on the plane is 34 in economy plus, but 30 in economy. Number of restrooms, 2 on the train, including one that is ADA compliant, and then on the plane, 1 in the front of the plane, 2 in the rear. Number of attendants, on the train, generally 1 conductor and at least 1 assistant conductor for the entire train, plus a cafe car service attendant. The plane usually has 4. Power outlets, the train, yes. The plane, yes, in economy plus, but no in economy. And finally, Wi-Fi on the train, available on many trains and complimentary, although service can be spotty during the travel. And on the plane, it's $8 to $10 per flight. Now, continuing talking about trains, under Let the Good Times Roll, a train is not just transportation, it's the vacation itself. Here are 6 great rail adventures. Rocky Mountaineer, between Denver, Colorado, and Moab, Utah. The one-night Rockies to the Red Rocks route travels through the Southwest from mid-April through mid-November. Passengers don't sleep on the train, but rather in the Hot Springs resort town of Glenwood Springs, Colorado. You'll cross the Continental Divide and ride along the Colorado River with snow-capped peaks and Red Rock Canyons in view. The price is from $1,720. Then there's Amtrak Empire Builder between Chicago and the Pacific Northwest. One of Amtrak's most popular routes, the 2-night, 46-hour Empire Builder, provides a front-row seat to some of the most iconic scenery in the West. After daily westbound train departs from Chicago, you'll have scenic views of the Mississippi River and the North Dakota Plains and follow parts of the Lewis and Clark Trail. A highlight is Montana's Glacier National Park. From Spokane, Washington, you can continue to Seattle or head down the Columbia River Gorge to Portland with stunning views of Mount Hood, and the price is from $220. Glacier Express, Switzerland. This candy apple red train connects the towns of Zermatt and St. Moritz with about an 8-hour journey that cuts through a dramatic alpine landscape. Break up the trip by stopping at resorts such as the revitalized town of Andermatt. Booking a seat in the Excellence Class carriage gets you a champagne welcome and a 5-course meal with wine, and this is from $260. Then, Via Rails, the Canadian, between Toronto and Vancouver. This 4-night trip spans more than 2,500 miles across Canada, taking in the lakes of Ontario and the prairies of Manitoba, the snow-streaked Rocky Mountains, and the picturesque forests of British Columbia. Enjoy stops in vibrant cities such as Winnipeg and Edmonton. And this ranges from $370. Next, we have the Amtrak Down Easter between Boston, Massachusetts and Brunswick, Maine. Around 3.5 hours in length, this route features a popular train to take for fall and winter getaways in New England, as colorful foliage and wintry snowscapes scroll past the large picture window. And that price is from $30. Denali Star between Anchorage and Fairbanks, Alaska. While travelers can make the 356-mile, 12-hour trip in a day, many break it up with overnights in the funky town of Talkeetna or at the entrance to Denali National Park. Buses can take you into the wilderness home of grizzlies, moose, caribou, and Dall sheep. The rail journey takes you through deep canyons, skirts wild rivers, and crosses the 296-foot-tall Hurricane Gulch Rail Bridge, and the prices are from $280. The rail story, what to know about Amtrak train travel. At the station, check-in and security lines are a breeze at train stations compared with airports. Plan to arrive between 30 and 60 minutes before departure, depending on whether you need help with luggage or have a ticketing question. Boarding gates aren't typically posted until about 15 minutes before a train's departure. Download Amtrak's app for up-to-date info like train notifications or track notifications. After you board, a conductor will scan your ticket. What to pack? Travelers generally can check up to 4 bags, 2 free and 2 at $20 each, and bring 1 personal and 2 carry-on items. Size and weight limits apply, and oversized items may incur fees. Some stations offer red cap service to assist passengers. What to bring on board? Slippers. You might need to go down the hall to use the bathroom. Chargers or batteries for electronic devices. A portable travel safe. Sleeping cars may lock only from the inside, so when you leave for a meal or the restroom, your door is unlocked. A travel pillow, blanket, and eye mask. Snacks and drinks you can bring. You can bring your own food. Headphones. Toiletries for overnight journeys. On the train, passenger cars. Most common is coach class, but some trains also have business or first class. Quiet cars are also available on many of Amtrak's regional or short route trains. No talking on cell phones allowed. The seating configuration generally has 2 seats on either side of an aisle. Tip, choose a seat on the side of the train opposite the sun to avoid glare while viewing or photographing the scenery. Dining cars. These moving restaurants are typically available on long-distance trains. If you're traveling solo, you'll likely be seated at a table with other passengers, offering a great opportunity to swap stories. Sleeping car passengers can have meals delivered to their room. Shorter route trains may have only a cafe car with food available for purchase that you can take back to your seat. Observation cars. Some trains have these special cars for passengers to visit. Amtrak calls them sightseer lounges. Here, you often can sit in a lounge-style chair that looks out onto panoramic views like Colorado's Rocky Mountains and Washington's Puget Sound estuary. These and the snack bars are the train's social hubs, making it easy to play a game of cards or to sip coffee with a new friend. And finally, sleeper cars. You can get a room with a full bathroom, including a small shower or a roomette. You'll need to use the restroom and shower facilities down the hall for that. You'll also get the services of an attendant who can assist with meals and help with luggage. Be aware, the beds are bunk style, meaning if you're traveling with a companion, one of you will need to climb up. Now, last time we were looking at the brave new world of AI, and we have like a couple of sidebars and one more article in that. This one is Future Advances for Brain Health. Detect Parkinson's from Earwax Odors. Chinese scientists have pinpointed cases of Parkinson's disease with up to 94.4% accuracy using an AI-trained olfactory device that senses changes in earwax compounds. In time, it could help people with this brain condition get referrals for diagnoses and treatment sooner. Improve memory after brain injury. Traumatic brain injuries, TBIs, frequently caused by falls and traffic accidents, affect an estimated 1 in 8 older adults and often lead to problems with thinking and memory loss. AI-trained deep brain stimulation improved memory in people with TBI by 19%, University of Pennsylvania scientists recently found. Spot stroke emergencies with voice recognition. In a recent study, an AI-enabled voice recognition program deployed at a Danish emergency call center identified strokes more accurately than human dispatchers did. The AI program was trained on thousands of voice recordings and transcribed calls to spot telltale warning signs. This next sidebar is advances in drug discovery. Identify new antibiotics. Researchers at MIT reviewed 12 million compounds for a 2024 study on drug-resistant bacteria. Fair Bio, a nonprofit company, is now creating what it calls the world's first generative AI antibiotics discovery engine to bring life-saving drugs to market. Link Alzheimer's genes with treatments. At the Cleveland Clinic's Alzheimer's Network Medicine Laboratory, researchers used AI-enabled software to identify 156 different Alzheimer's risk genes, each of which is now a potential new drug target. They have already identified several drugs as possible weapons against Alzheimer's. And develop a new gut drug. An experimental drug for inflammatory bowel disease engineered using generative AI has entered human trials. ABS-101, developed by Absci, will first be tested for safety. Other drugs for other disorders are in phase 2 clinical trials. And now the article that goes with that, new uses for old medications, repurposing existing drugs with AI. Alan Jones had bought a cemetery plot and was ready to start hospice care, his body and mind ravaged by a rare immune condition that had resisted chemotherapy, a stem cell transplant, and a slew of powerful drugs. A physician from Canada, Jones was in his late 40s with a wife and a young child. "We had all the end-of-life protocols ready," he said. Jones, now 51, has the most debilitating form of Castleman disease, which causes the immune system to churn out a torrent of inflammatory proteins that attack vital organs, such as the liver and kidneys. Up to 25% of people with this condition die within 5 years. There is no cure for the form of the disease that struck Jones. But then his doctors heard about an unlikely treatment, an AI-enabled computer program being built in the UK had identified the arthritis drug Humira as a potential treatment for Jones's condition. "In a situation where you're dying, you would do almost anything," Jones said. He started weekly injections of the drug. "After a few weeks, it worked. The vast majority of my symptoms got better. I'm alive today because of it," he said. The drug's off-label use was discovered by Every Cure, a nonprofit organization that has developed an AI-driven mathematical formula to compare 18,500 diseases with more than 4,000 FDA-approved drugs. "We are on a mission to save lives with the drugs we already have," says David Feigenbaum, MD, Associate Professor of Translational Medicine and Human Genetics at the University of Pennsylvania, who co-founded Every Cure in 2022. "We could potentially double the impact of our medicines in very short order by using them in new ways. As drug companies and researchers turn to AI to develop and even design brand new drugs faster. Some are even in human trials. Every cure and a handful of similar projects in the U.S., Europe, and Japan are using artificial intelligence to find existing drugs that can be repurposed to treat the world's approximately 10,000 rare diseases and more common conditions, too. We literally look at every drug and every disease, said Feigenbaum. Every cure's platform has already flagged little-known possible repurposed treatments for autism spectrum disorder and amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, or ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease. 2 years after Jones started the drug he was using, his story was published at his case study in the New England Journal of Medicine in February 2025. At press time, Jones was doing well. I'm a testament to the potential of this approach. It's a drug we never, ever would have considered. It was a last-ditch option. I think it's amazing. Now I'm going to move on to some short items from AARP, the Bulletin, under the heading of In the News. New drugs slated for Medicare price talks. Drugs to treat arthritis, cancer, and diabetes were among 15 prescriptions picked up in late January for the third round of Medicare's price cut negotiations. About 1.8 million Medicare enrollees used these drugs last year, says the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. This is the list. And I'm just going to give the name of the drug and what it's used to treat, although they also list the Medicare spent, amount spent, and the number of enrollees. All right, we have Trulicity for type 2 diabetes, Biktarvy for the most common strain of HIV-1, Orencia for psoriatic arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, Cosentyx for severe plaque psoriasis, Erleada, prostate cancer, Kisqali, breast cancer, Entyvio, Crohn's disease, Verzenio, breast cancer, Botox, chronic migraines, overactive bladder, Lenvima, kidney, liver, and thyroid cancers, Xolair, asthma, chronic hives, Rexulti, agitation associated with dementia and schizophrenia, Gelzenz, psoriatic arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, and ulcerative colitis, Anoro, Ellipta, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD, Zimzia, Crohn's disease, rheumatoid arthritis, and Tradjenta, type 2 diabetes, part of the 2025 negotiations. It was selected for renegotiation. Another item in this section. There's a bunch of swear symbols. Yeah. Swearing can improve strength and endurance, says a study published in American Psychologist. Uttering swear words could promote psychological states conducive to maximizing effort and overcoming constraints, researchers found. Exactly how isn't clear, but who bleeping cares? Then we have AARP Foundation wins pension court case. After a year-long legal battle, a jury has awarded $54.2 million to more than 1,100 former employees of a New York Roman Catholic hospital who did not receive the pension benefits they were owed. The jury found the diocese and its agents, as well as the former hospital and its former CEO, liable for mismanaging pension funds, thus denying workers retirement income they had counted on. AARP Foundation lawyers who represented former employees of St. Clair's Hospital in New York State Court says the decision could protect as many as 1 million pensioners across the U.S. The Roman Catholic Diocese of Albany has not said if it will appeal. Then we have libido pill, okay, for women up to 65. For the first time, health officials have approved use of the libido-enhancing pill for postmenopausal women. Flibanserin, also sold as ADDYI, and cleared by the Food and Drug Administration in 2015 for younger women, can now be prescribed until age 65. It's a non-hormonal medication that acts on chemical messengers in the body that affect sexual response. The injectable medication, Vyleesi, it's V-Y-L-E-E-S-I, is another FDA-approved treatment for premenopausal women with low libido. And while there is no FDA-approval testosterone therapy for women with libido issues, some doctors prescribe it off-label. Flibanersin is not for women who take some blood pressure medications and certain antibiotics. It also requires a caution with alcohol use. Still, the expanded approval was welcomed by many women's health experts. One hurdle is cost. Insurance coverage is not universal, and some retailers list the medication for more than $1,000 per month. The manufacturers offer copay programs and coupons to offset the cost. And finally, we have some new advice on what to eat. New dietary guidelines for Americans released by the federal government in January suggest six main steps to refining the way people eat. The recommendations are: get enough protein, focus on high-quality, nutrient-dense protein foods at every meal, like eggs, poultry, and seafood, as well as plant-based options like peas, beans, and nuts. Choose healthy fats. Prioritize whole foods such as seafood, nuts, seeds, olives, and avocados. Use oils with essential fatty acids like olive oil when cooking. Avoid highly processed foods. Salty and sweet items like chips and cookies should be shunned. Watch out for artificial substances and avoid added sugars. Limited foods and beverages with artificial flavors, petroleum-based dyes, artificial sweeteners, and preservatives. Reduce processed breads. Give preference to fiber-rich whole grains and cut down highly processed refined carbohydrates like white bread, ready-to-eat, or packaged breakfast options, flour tortillas, and crackers. And finally, consume less alcohol. There are no recommendations for amounts or limits. The previous guidelines advise limiting alcohol drinks to two or fewer per day for men and one or fewer per day for women. The new advice simply urges less drinking. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I do hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.